Dave.
Thanks, Shelley.
Yeah, Dave Alect. First of all, thanks for asking me to come down in my call, and thanks for being here, making it possible. I've said about four or five prayers to get my nerves and fears down, and they don't seem to be getting answered so far. Yeah, I was sitting here thinking, have I got a lot of fear going on and anxiety, or am I desperate for a pony? I ain't been able to work it out, but the bottom line is something's wrong with my bottle at the moment. You know, I suppose that's the good thing about recovery. You can sort of own this sort of stuff and you ain't got to pretend, nah, it's okay, everything's sweet. You know what I mean? You're going boom, boom, boom inside. It's always a pleasure to talk at these NA meetings, and you know, especially me, it's a big meeting, and I've got to like be honest with you, this don't come natural to me. It ain't the sort of thing I do, sit down speaking in front of crowds. I'm quite sort of like an isolated person. I like doing my own thing in my own time. Slip off to meetings when I want to go to a meeting. You know, and I socialise with a couple of friends now. And so to come down here and talk in a big crowd, I said, yeah, lovely. When Mickey asked me, I thought, great. And then like a little bit of fear, a little bit of apprehension sort of been creeping up as the day's gone on. And I made a big mistake at work. I told a couple of pals, you know, and they know I'm in recovery. And they've been fucking totally taking the piss out of me all the way for the last couple of days, you know what I mean? They've been sitting in the tea room, getting an hour introducing Dave. So when I said Dave Alect, I thought, Nick, I thought I had to say it, Dave. I couldn't do the Dave. They was asking me if they could come down. I said, no. I said, it's closed doors, members only. But a couple of them are actually members, they just don't know. You know, but one of them at work gets more prescription drugs than anyone I know, more than my mum. You know? And he's rattling for the first 2 hours at work. You know, he's the most moodiest person you'd want to be rat round, you know what I mean? And I go, your pills kicked in yet? You know, and but he don't think he's got a problem with that because he's getting them off a doctor. You know, and, like our literature says, you know, it don't matter where they're coming from. You know, anyone could be an addict, and there's a lot of them come from prescription drugs. So, you know, but thankfully, about myself, I found it in these rooms. I could sit here tonight. I mean, I just celebrated 6 years last week, which. And it was a big achievement for me because, you know, when I come into these rooms, I had fucking nothing, absolutely nothing. I destroyed everything and everyone. And, you know, I'm sitting here tonight. I've got some good friends in recovery. I've got a lovely missus I've been with for quite a few years now. Home, kids, you know, family, friends, etc., work. You know, there ain't enough hours in the day today. And that sort of stuff blows me away. Because, you know, to realise what I've achieved today, to what I lost and where I was in addiction for so many years, I never ever thought in a million fucking years I'd get this back, or a life. You know, and thankfully, and thank the God of my understanding that, you know, I've actually got that today. From early days, I always had a bit of an insane head on, even before sort of drugs come into my life. I always wanted to be up front, always wanted to get in trouble, never wanted to be the yes sir, no sir, yeah, finish your own work, do this, still go to school, be on time. It just weren't in my sort of nature. And so a bit of rebellion and a lot of Dave's will was in my life from the early days before I even realised it was even in my life. And trouble followed me through school. My old man was really violent indoors, mainly with my mum, but it did affect me and my brother. And so I was to go to school so angry. He was a big man, my dad, and I was too scared and absolutely terrified to answer him back or try and defend myself or my mum at that particular time when I ran the primary school area. And so I had a lot of fear going. So I was to go to school and I just rebel. I wanted to fight, I wanted to cause trouble, I wanted to be abusive. And, you know, and I was a little bit off key, but that sort of suited me at that time. And so, as life sort of progressed and going into secondary school, I just wanted to get expelled. My education, I wanted to be on the streets. I wanted to get on the streets and do whatever I'd done with my pals. And so I got expelled. I got suspended a couple of times, and I thought, what have I got to do to get expelled? We had this teacher, I think she was American or Australian, I can't remember what it was, maths or English or whatever. I said to all my mates, I said, right, tomorrow morning on class, I said, I'm going to bend her over the desk and I'm going to smack her ass. I said, because she's so self-righteous, I said, I'm going to teach her a lesson. Right, some didn't believe me, some did. The classroom was rammed, probably as many people as in here tonight. And so I burst through the doors, balaclava on. Over the desk she goes, skirt up, smack her ass. Have it right on my toes. She starts screaming. I didn't expect that. I've got to get down this corridor. It's only a narrow one. And we've got like a rugby teacher in this particular school, and he was a big guy. Who steps out halfway down the corridor is this fucking rugby teacher. And I've got to pass him. So I've run full steam ahead. I've just bounced off a brick wall, basically. Got me on the floor. Balaclava off. Not you again, Andrews. No, because there was a similar situation a little while ago. trust me, I'm not a predator, right? Anyway, a day or two later, I'm in front of the headmaster, my mum and my dad there, and I feel so ashamed. First time I probably really felt shame. You know, my mum's looking at me in disgust. The teacher's now all innocent, tears in her eyes, and I thought, this ain't how she fucking is. You know what I mean? She ain't like that. She was nasty. Anyway, get expelled. So now there's three or four of my mates, they've been chucked out of their schools. And we was on the streets then, and that's where I really wanted to be. You know, some people want to go off to higher education, all that. That really didn't enter my head at that particular time in my life. I just really wanted to do what they wanted to do. And we went out committing small time crime, shops, offices, warehouses, whatever. You know, and as them sort of couple of years sort of progressed, I even got lazy as a burglar. I started thinking they're fucking hard work. Especially if you get in a warehouse and you've got to transfer everything over a roof into a van. I thought, I can't fucking do this. So a couple of older people in my family and that, they were robbers. So I thought, I'd much rather get a gun and go, give me that fucking bag of money. You know what I mean? And I ain't got no more consequences then. I'll just shoot off with that. So that's what we've done. 16 years of age. I ain't got a clue what we're doing. Got over some guns. Got a couple of my family, and we go out on one. Totally fucked up the first one. The guard was about 50 foot away from me, just looked at me, running and slammed the door in my face, basically. I run to the getaway car, my mate's in there, gone, where's the fucking money? I've gone, he's in the bank. He went, go and fucking get it. I said, I can't, the door's closed. I said, we've got to go, mate. I said, the old bill are going to be here in a minute. He was driving off. Yeah, look at me like, fucking So, get away with that one. I thought, I can't do that again. I've really embarrassed myself here. If the word goes around on the street that you can't even grab a bag off a fucking guard, then I'm in trouble. And he said, okay, sure, I swear a lot, don't I? I do apologise, but it does come natural. I try and slow down my swearing. I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone. Yeah, so that for the next sort of 3 or 4 years, that's how my life sort of progressed and started getting the cars, the money, the women, you know, clubbing, holidays. And I thought life was great. I was in my late teens now, and I just thought, you know what, by my early 20s, I'm going to have everything I want. I'm going to have loads of money, big ass, the most beautiful woman is my wife, everything I want, you know, and I met a girl when I was about 18, absolutely fell bang in love with her, you know, head over heels, and straight away I wanted to get married, have babies, and so I accumulated little bits and pieces around me, and I went out on a bit of graft outside London, She just fell pregnant at this time, just arranged the wedding, put deposits down on that, but had to go out just to get a little bit to round things off and go out on it. And it, no, it's one of them things. I drove out of London, I expected to be back within about 4 or 5 hours. It ended up being multiple fucking years later because I went there, Old Bill was there, it all went totally tits up basically, and ended up getting shot 5 times and getting like 15 years in the nick. And I remember sitting in the hospital, they've got us to the hospital, my other mate's got shot, he's sitting over there. And I remember all the doctors round him and I had fucking holes everywhere. I'm thinking, I know I've been shot more than him and no one is coming near me. And going out, I felt some little lumps, I felt a couple of bullets. Yeah, I thought, oh, fuck this, mate. You know what I mean? And also, I'm saying, we'll get round him. They've got this big spike thing. And they've held him down and gone smash through his ribs. I didn't realise, but he had a punctured lung, so they drained the blood out of it. Now, the fear has smashed me because I thought, they've done that to him, now they're coming back to do that to me. So all I'm saying, I said, give me something to put me out. I said, I'm going to go mental. They go, no, you're okay. And thankfully, I didn't have the punctured lung and I got through all that. And, you know, so the next sort of X amount of years, well, 9.5 years, is in prison. So I ain't going to bore you. Most of us people in this room have probably been there or have got some form of experience around prisons. Some days are good, some days are bad, some days are just really shit, you know what I mean? Whatever. I end up having my baby. Well, my missus had the baby, but I've got my kid there. And, you know, she's visiting me regular every week or every 2 weeks. I'm all around different parts of the country. You know, she really sort of stood up in that area, and I should have had a lot of gratitude. But sometimes I could have been up in Durham, and a train might have been a bit late, or the bus, or the cab, or whatever she had to do, merry-go-round. The visit started at 2 o'clock, and she walked up to Durham, and it was 2:15. I'd be sitting there with a raving hump, going, how comes you ain't fucking got here at 2 o'clock? I've got 2 hours for a visit. And she'd explain about a train and that. And I used to be so self-centred at that time, that I didn't realise, no different. It was all about Dave still. Don't care about all the hardships you've got outside. It's about what's happening with me inside. And and that's how I was. I didn't realise about these sort of feelings at the time. I didn't realise about nothing, you know what I mean? And apart from being angry or being happy, that's probably, I could identify them two feelings, but nothing else. I end up coming home in 94. I come home, I've got a wife, child, another one on the way, got home, got some great friends around me, great family, they've supported me for many years. Didn't go without nothing, it was all about puffing them days, and I always had puffing and nicking that. You know, I suppose I had my first dabble of heroin when I was in the nick. Could take it or leave it. Didn't really sort of float my boat. Weren't really for me. And I come home and jump straight in the fast lane. You know, getting a lot of things very fast. Probably in hindsight now, and when I went through the steps with my sponsor, realised that it all come too quick, too soon. I couldn't deal with life. I couldn't deal with what I had. I ain't done about financially, I'm on about with the friends, with the family, with the home, the responsibilities, because don't forget, for all these years, it's all been catered for me. All I had to do was take care of my food or a bit of puff. And I remember washing up, and funny enough, the actual guy, or whatever I washed up the first gram of Charlie with, is in this room tonight, I don't see who he is. We used to serve up quite a bit of Charlie at this time, and I wanted to wash a bit up, see what the quality was of it, and said, this is what the crack is. Usually you just push it out and see the quality, lodge that bit. I went, you know what, I'm going to keep that and just treat myself this weekend. And got a bit of company, went to an hotel, and I thought, this is a ream. I had that first pipe, and I'm greedy, you know, as most addicts are, just greedy. And I put loads on, which blew my mind away, and I thought, this is the bollocks. Now I've got a great life, getting a few quid, friends, family, home, kids, and crack. I thought, I've got everything, I want to do it every other weekend. You know, and might have done it 2 or 3 weeks later. Then it was a week, as most of us can identify with. You know, before I knew it, it becomes sort of daily. And my missus kept going to me, you know, what are you doing? Where you been? You know, been out for a day, like 2 days. And I go, look, I've told you before, you can't ask me about business. So she just used to think at first, because she had a lot of faith in me and a lot of trust in me. You know, I had a lot of morals, a lot of respect on the street and for myself. And I never believed for a second I would become an addict. Really didn't. And I remember when I started scoring off this fella, and he said to me, and now, you know, being judgmental as I was, right, as I probably still can be, I thought the geezer was just a low-life lamp, you know what I mean? And he went to me, I used to have everything. He said, now I've got nothing, absolutely nothing, and no one in my life. And I remember looking at him thinking, do you think I could lower myself to ever be like you? I thought, I won't keep swearing, but I thought. And I went, yeah, all right, whatever. Just five of them, three of them, two of them, and a couple more on top. And away I go. And at first it was like, and then my missus said, you know, come on top. And she started to think I was having an affair. And it was really, so funny it weren't. It was quite sad. But I remember sitting in the front room in my house, and she's gone to me. She went, Dave, she went, you're going missing so often now. She said, you're coming in looking a bit rough. She went, are you having an affair? Tears in her eyes. She's heartbroken. She's waited all these years for me. Don't forget, I fucked off. My daughter's been crying. Where's daddy? First time I seen my daughter on the street. She was 8 years of age. 6 months I was at home. And I went, no, I ain't having an affair. I went, I'm taking crack. Right, she's going to go, oh, thank fuck for that. You know? She went to me, crack. I went, yeah, it's all right, it's all right. It's just washed up coke. I said, everyone takes coke, you know what I mean? I said, I just obviously like it. But anyway, obviously she ain't seeing the funny side of it, and it ain't okay, and she ain't don't want me to smoke indoors, and I'm trying to say it's just like a fag, and da 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 da. You know, and it ain't going down too well. So she starts giving me a few warnings, a few ultimatums, and I'm going, yeah, all right, promise, no more. And not, you know, I didn't know about that one being too many and a thousand not enough. I go, no, sweet, get everything okay again, go back out. Right, I'm going to get two white, one brown, and go back home. Hour, done, no one to know. You know, 2 days later, no money on me, got to get money. You know, could take leather jackets off my fucking back just to go and get another bit of crack. And back home again, murders. And, you know, and this sort of, this went on and on and on, repeating the same mistake, expecting different results. And in the end, she sort of said to me, oh, I want a divorce. And I've got to admit, even though I did love her, and I loved my children, loved my child at the time, she was pregnant at this time. It's, you know, this is, you know, how I'm feeling I was, because the only love and the only thing I focused on was getting more crack and smoking crack. That's where I really felt at home. And I went to her suite, all right. I had a bit of Reddy's at the time. I went and put every single bit of dough I had in a bag. I went, if you want me to go, I'm taking this with me. And I didn't even leave her a tenner. I went, I'm fucking off. And part of me in my head, I thought, sweet, I'm gone. Nice, decent bit of Reddy's. Going to park up and just blast it away. And that's what I've done in between. And, you know, and within a year or 2 years, that was totally gone. And I didn't even have a tenner in my pocket. And it was one of them times I just never thought it was going to happen. But in between all this, I've let down my friends, my family. My friends have just totally disowned me. They won't let me go nowhere near them. I'm unreliable, you know, not responsible. My morals and principles have changed. But I ain't seen any of this, so I'm just blaming them. Thinking, well, you're whatever, CMTs. I said, fuck you, I'm off. And I got into that spiral then of that deep, dark, dingy part of using. I used to go down school and be able to slip off, and all of a sudden now I can't just go down to school and slip off. I've got to go down, stay about, and try and graft a use up here. And, you know, and I started doing really insane things. You know, and I remember this particular time, I remember going out, just as I was getting back, was before I was with my missus still at this time, got a little bit raised, a little bit of support, gone back out on a bender for about 8 or 9 days, didn't hardly sleep, and remember I had a pair of Timberlands on, and I remember going out, so I've got to just jump in the shower and go to sleep, I'm so tired. I remember taking these Timberlands off, I remember putting them on my right foot, then pulling my sock off, and my fucking toenails come out of my socks. My feet have sweated so much that my toenails have gone gooey and gone type thing. No, I didn't think, what am I doing to myself? I thought, I'm not wearing them fucking Timberlands again. If you have a bender, you've got to wear trainers. You know? And I've done multiple insane thinking like that. You know? And in the end, my own family was scared of me. Because I was proper off key. I mean, a lot of people can probably identify. I really hope you can anyway. But, you know, I was doing... I remember one night, it says in our readings, didn't it, step two, about, you know, you wouldn't go up to a doctor and ask for an heart attack. I thought, well, I actually did do something very similar. I remember I was using psychosis bang on me, and also I thought, oh, I want to get run over. I really want to get run over. So I've hid behind a car, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, whatever, on this main road, cars coming, whoosh, swerve round me. I thought, you back again, cars coming. Well, miss me, now I'm really getting the hump, right? Third time, I thought, please God. I remember car coming. I thought I'd leave it right till the last second. Eh? Bombing, I've gone smash. I'm up in the air, right? Punctured lung, ribs broke. I thought, oh, that's great. You know? And I remember being at my mate's house, he's feeding me methadone. I can't breathe. I'm going, he's going, you've got to go to hospital, mate. I went, oh, I need a pipe. They took me to the hospital and I think it was double pneumonia and pleurisy, or pleurisy and double, whatever way it worked out, but I was banging in trouble, loads of antibiotics. You know, and all that stuff didn't sort of stop me. You know, I was so insane with using drugs, and I couldn't face reality no more. I felt so embarrassed, so ashamed of my behaviours. You know, I started going to detox centres, treatment centres, and like, sometimes I completed, sometimes I didn't. And what used to happen, self-worth used to kick in all the time. I'd do a couple of weeks, maybe 6 weeks, 2 months, and I start thinking, what am I fucking doing here with all these people? What a fuck. You know? I've got good pals, good friends. I can get out there and get a few quid. I couldn't, because it was all gone. But that's what my head used to tell me. I can get out there and get all sorted. And then within a week of walking out, or even if I did complete, I'd get out. And I remember once, I left one treatment centre. I got in there early summer. I think I walked out. Well, sorry, I left or got chucked out, I can't remember, but in August. And I remember 5 days later, I'm looking out the ville out the window in the ville, in a cell, and I'm thinking, 5 days ago, I was up in a country house, treatment centre, had it all sorted, and I've gone and fucked it again. You know, done it multiple times, probably 6-7 treatment centres. Nothing was working. And a couple of my pals who used to use, or didn't use now, getting on with their lives, again, you ain't surrendered. I go, yes, I have. Because I didn't really know what you meant. But I wouldn't go, well, what do you actually mean? I just go, yes, I have. Well, she said, well, you used last week. And you're drinking there. And I used to go, well, drink's all fucking right, ain't it? It ain't my problem. I ain't got a drink problem. And all of a sudden, started drinking, back out there again. And losing everything again and again, burning bridges after bridges. And finally, I got to a stage where I had all this madness going on, all this insanity. I actually started feeling burnt out, lost, seriously vulnerable, seriously feared up. I had all this stuff going on. I didn't feel courageous to go out and nick a pain. I ain't all about anything serious. I'm all about running in Marx's or running in Iceland's and getting the joints of meat before security come on. I started losing the nerves to do all these sort of things, because that's where my addiction took me in the end. I mean, just gasping for a tenner, begging, borrowing, stealing, whatever. And there was times I remember sitting down and absolutely lost. And I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, basically. I ended up doing an home detox. I went to see my mum. I said, can you please borrow me £100? I've really had enough now. She went, oh, well, I'm going to give you this £100. And if you don't spend it on drugs, don't ever ask me again. But if you do it, I'll support you. And for some, an eye power must have been my life before I even understood or knew anything about an eye power. I went and got these, went down to a favourite doctor of mine down Arley Street, just give him the readies, give you what you want. Got the detox stuff, went over to my aunt's house just outside London and done this detox, 10-day detox it was. And I remember I had a couple of pills left, a couple of fires, a couple of valves, rows, whatever. And I thought, let's cane them tonight. Or stick to what I've done, cut down. And just throw these, because now these are spare. Don't need them. And I remember lodging them. And I thought, wow. I mean, I've never thrown a pill or any form of drug away. If I know, it could be mind-altering. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to change. I ain't putting down drugs. I need to change. I ain't the person I used to be or person I thought I was. I've lost that life, I've lost that personality and them sort of principles in life. And I just got straight into these meetings. And my sponsor's here tonight. I had a meal with him before I come to this meeting. You know, it's the same sponsor I've had for the last 6 years. And what attracted me to him, I see him in a meeting when I was very new. And he was sharing on something right close to him, right personal. And he was shedding some very light tears and being really vulnerable and really honest. And to see a man, for me at that time, being that real and honest, blew me away. I thought, that's what I call extreme courage. To be honest with your feelings. Ones what are hurtful in front of other men and women instead of just, I'm all right, being, trying to be tough. And that's what blew me away. And so straight after the meeting, I asked him to sponsor me. And he said, yeah. And I went and started work, got putting pen to paper, going through the work, and I went through the green and gold, and that's what I wanted to go through, because I'm an hardcore addict with hardcore behaviours, and for me, I had to fucking dig deep and really reveal myself, repeating the same question. I mean, sometimes I thought, for fuck's sake, I've answered that 3 times, but I'll answer it again. Might have worded it a little bit different, but I'll say it again, But I got honest in there, in the one, telling about some of the situations I've done. You know, going through my nan's handbag. Thought I was borrowing 60 or 70 quid, whatever it was, in it. Put it back tomorrow, out my nut on valves. All that stuff I felt really ashamed of doing. The stuff I never wanted to own or admit to anyone. You know, from where I come from. And started doing, like, putting this through. And, you know, and on the three, I always remember there's a question in the three about how your life was on your will and how your life was on God's will, words to that effect. And I remember when I answered how my life was on my will, which was totally fucking non-existent with total horrible feelings in it. And I find it hard because I try not to swear there and I'll get lost out to it and answer what I want to say. But anyway, you know, life was crap. And on God's will, by now, probably, I don't know, a year clean or something, 8 months clean, going up the gym regularly, going walking over parks, sitting down just watching the trees and really, you know, appreciating a bit of freedom and understanding that freedom ain't just being out of prison. Because I was so into institutionalising him, because I've done so many years in the Nick, done a lot more than just that big sentence, done fives, fours, threes, two and a halfs, whatever. And, you know, I started really having some gratitude for some, like, even, I was feeling embarrassed about like saying it, but, you know, hearing some birds singing, flying, and da-da-da-da-da. And, I remember this feeling going through me, you know, like, out with the old, in with the new type of feeling, and I thought, wow, man, I'm changing, and I've actually made a change, and I've got that courage to sort of make the difference these days. And, you know, and then progressing through the steps, and, you know, for me, one of my favourite steps is definitely step 9. Because I've done so many harmful, shitty things out there. physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, whatever. Couple of times in recovery, I bumped into people, see them on the other side of the street, who are desperately owing amends, weren't on an eight yet. Got suggested that don't do things too early this time, because I've tried that sort of stuff before and it's gone wrong. And, you know, and when I got onto my night, going out there and having that sort of dignity restored, and that self-respect restored, walking up to people and admitting that, you know, whatever I've done, I harmed you financially, spiritually, and offering to correct that or amends to the best of my ability. And you know what? Probably 99% of them have gone absolutely great. And when I've actually gone to put readies across, they've gone, no, Joe, what, Dave? Seeing you do what you're doing, mate, I don't want the money, I just want to see you like you are. Some of these people are cafe owners, shop owners, store owners, I arrest everyone. And I didn't leave no stone unturned, trust me. And I used to think, touch. And I remember going down to one person on an amends, knocked on his door, gone, who is it? I've gone, it's Dave, John. Said, what do you want? I said, John, I just want to talk to you about something, mate. He went, go away. I went, no, John, I've changed, mate. I want to come, I just want to talk to you. He went, go away. My head went, fucking go. I thought, I want to kick the door through now. I'm going to fuck all the way down here to fucking make amends, you fucking cunt. Right? And I thought, what am I doing? I had to take a deep breath because I wanted to just start banging the door there. I thought, like, Joe, what the best amends in my sponsor, they'd give me guidance around this stuff, but it's hard when it hits you in the face to give you that second to think. I thought, Joe, what, walk away. Best amends here, the first one I had to do was indirect amends, and just stay away from him. That's the amends. Try not to ever see him again. So that's a good lesson learned for me in that, because it didn't go how Dave wanted to go, you know, and I still struggle around that sort of stuff. But, yeah, thank you. Right, yeah, and, you know, and as I've gone through the steps there, I was very lost, never worked in my life. I can't even put a plug on, to be honest with you. My missus can do a lot more than I can indoors. I've tried drilling holes and I've put chunks in the wall. It ain't straight. I feel quite embarrassed that I ain't... That my pals call me DIY Dave. You know what I mean? Because I ain't got a Danny around that sort of stuff. But, you know, so I thought I'd go to college, try a different few college courses, went a few courses and progress into the field. And I realised, you know, good luck to you, and I think we are probably the best people to help people in that area, but it worked for me. I ain't got the patience, I ain't got the tolerance, and I ain't got the right sort of nature to do that sort of stuff. So, you know, I've done a year or so, and, you know, and I didn't think it was time wasted. I thought, you know what, I've tried it, ain't for me, need to find something. And then, you know, I was about 4 years in then, still not working, doing the odd little bit here and there, not much. But life was going good, and... You know, and what's happened? Sorry, let me just go back to one thing here on these amends here. One of the biggest ones I need to put out there is that when I was 2 years, 2.5 years clean, I got a phone call one day, said, your brother's dead. I said, what the fuck are you talking about? He's just come back from fucking Mexico yesterday. I said, David died this morning. Anyway, God rest his soul, my brother's like... He weren't my twin, but he was like twins. We'd done all the same things, done those stuff together, shared, you know, bedrooms, prison cells, robberies, crimes, whatever. And come back from holiday, cleaned up out there, went out a bit, went over. My head at first wanted to go mental, blame everyone in that house, but I didn't. You know, I come into these rooms and, you know, I cried my eyes out for, you know, got support in here, got my pals phoning me up. You know, there's a lot of them in here tonight. And that was probably the toughest fucking thing I faced in recovery, and not acted out physically or emotionally, or, you know, and I got that support through it. And Joe, what come out of that is my first daughter, who I didn't want to talk to me for years. When my brother passed away, she reached out to me about 2 weeks later. I texted me, said, Dad, I'm finally ready to meet you. And, you know, I managed to sit down in a restaurant and make an amends to my oldest daughter, because she was 22, beautiful, blonde hair, blue eyes. I didn't even know her. I knew she was my daughter. She knew I was her dad. I was either in prison, on drugs, or missing one form or another. And she went, I knew that could have been you. And she went, I'm really proud of what you're doing. And things like that is what fucking blows me away in this programme. We can get through anything clean. You don't need to use, you know what I'm saying? And I got my... out of that tragedy, grief, fucking terrible feelings, I supported my mum, my family, and I got my oldest daughter back in my life. And I had to wait, like I said, 2.5 years to make that amends. I was so caught away. It's a real shame it come around in that area. Lost one loved one to gain another one. But, you know, that's just how life is. We're immune from fucking tragedy. And, you know, progress from that didn't use. You know, I work full time now. I've never worked in my life. And I work 63 hours a week indoor. I moan. I fucking moan to everyone. But I've got no life. And I'd rather not have a job, and I'd rather just be in prison. And you don't realise how nice to do Saturday mornings and get up at 4 o'clock. But, you know what I mean? And I do a job I quite like. It's all like working over our own. You know, it's one of the family owns it, and that, and we just do what we want, basically. All the health and safety measures are totally out the window. You know, it's all big machinery. It's a working yard with skips, lorries, arctics, and fuck me, it's so unsafe. It's unbelievable. But for people like us, we're in our element, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Machines swing round, people have to duck, you know what I mean? Because none of us can really drive them. My uncle said, yeah, come down the yard, I'll give you a job. I said, sweet. He went to this kid, show him how to drive that machine. He went, that's that one, that pushes that down, that goes forward. He went, I'm going in that one. I'm sitting in the machine with something. Got a little bit better, but I've done a lot of damage on the way. But yeah, so right, time's up and over. So yeah, I've got in my light of day, it's fucking wonderful. Great friends, great family, great missus, home, job, and a dog. And I've got a fucking plant. They ain't mine, though. They ain't mine. They're missus, but we have got plants. So, you know, I'm doing all the things what recovery fucking offers. And in life's good, you know. Thanks for listening. I'm sure I've gone a little bit over time, but now I've started, I don't really want to stop. But thank you.